Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Big talk, big opinions, the panel.
Right, Jamie Wall and James Regan are our panellists this morning. Good morning to you gentlemen, both of you. And let's start on, I guess, the hottest topic. I'm not sure it was news to both of you blokes. You might have known previously anyway. But Campbell Johnson coming out on television last night as the first openly gay All Black on Seven Sharp. James Regan, what did you make of that announcement?
Yeah, well, hi. Morning, Smitty. Morning, Jamie. Firstly, didn't know, and secondly, massive respect and everything to Campbell. It's an incredible thing that he's done, not just for himself or the rugby community, but for a lot of people out there who will be in the same position. And so, yeah, massive respect to him. And We've obviously seen it. I'm sure it's been touched on that we've seen it in league and other sports in the past, but to have it right on our doorstep and in that All Blacks environment is massive. So, yeah, really, I guess a lot of people will be thankful to Campbell today for the way he's opened up and the way he's gone about things. And, yeah, hopefully it does prompt a bit of change in the way we think and some of the stuff he touched on about not feeling comfortable in that environment at that time, which was obviously a different time. But hopefully we do kind of reassess things and how we look at things at the moment. And if it does prompt a bit of good change, then that's amazing. That's, an incredible thing.
Jamie Wall, thanks for joining us this morning, Jamie. I'm not 100% sure if it was a complete surprise to you. What do you make of the announcement? Part two is, do you think it'll make any difference? Do you think it will open the doors, as they say?
Well, good morning, Smithy. Morning, Jimmy. I think that the doors are already a bit open, and that's why Campbell has felt comfortable coming out and saying this. And I think that also you're seeing with the reaction that has ranged from jubilation from a good section of the community, and that's understandable, to somewhat ambivalence with a lot of people who are just saying, like, okay, cool. Like, it's not really going to change the way I think of him. He's a good rugby player who represented the All Blacks a while back, and I think that's really positive, and I think that shows that, yeah, you see the doors could be opened. I think had they not been by the actions of some current players, and I'm going to highlight Brad Webber, for example, who's been pretty outspoken, at least from an All Black, on this issue in the past few years, and been pretty consistent about it too. TJ Perenato being another one, that they've helped create this environment where Campbell's managed to come to terms with the fact that it's okay to say this sort of thing. And not only that, but be engaged in a role with his former team, with the Crusaders, who have welcomed him in. And I saw yesterday on that clip that he was in there talking to the team about his journey, and it's something that young players can learn from, whether they're gay, straight, or otherwise. It can only really be a positive thing moving forward, because we want to have these people in our game. It's just important, just like we want to have them in every aspect of our community and make them feel welcome, make them feel safe. And I think that the most important thing that Campbell said last night is that hopefully what he's doing can help people. And I think just that on itself makes it really commendable.
Yep, okay. So much to talk about in that respect. In fact, what we'll do is I think we'll take an early news break here with Araha and come back. I'm still a bit baffled as to why it's such a big thing all of a sudden with men's sport, and yet women's sport embrace it on a daily basis, and absolutely it's part and parcel of what they do. So we'll go to Araha, and when we come back we'll be with Jamie and James.
Big talk, big opinions, the panel.
Yeah, Jamie Wall, James Regan with us this morning on the panel. And just before we finish on that subject, to me, I look at it this way, James, and women's sport, they embrace their relationships. You know, it's a strength of theirs in rugby and cricket and basketball. We've seen this high-profile basketballer, Brittany Griner, of course, been released back into the United States after a drug conviction in the United States. Well, the biggest campaigner for her openly was her wife. I mean, you know, they just, in women's sport in particular, it's an environment that they thrive on. They welcome it, they embrace it, they get fellowship out of it, sisterhood out of it. In men's sport, it's kind of, really? Oh, I can't be like that. Surely, is that a sign of weakness? And that's the stereotype for me, James.
Yeah, maybe that's just a reflection of where we're still at with a lot of our wider society, that blokes feel they, you know, if they're in a rugby changing room and supposed to be these hard-up men, that they can't talk about that or can't be themselves, which is incredibly sad. And maybe it does need us to look at more where we are as men in that respect, and that maybe we're not as far ahead as we think we are compared to a lot of people. So that's probably one thing, but Jamie's absolutely right in terms of the All Blacks that we've seen and the way the All Blacks have changed over the past few years. A lot of those players are more than welcoming and more than vocal on a lot of social issues we have, which is amazing to see. Brad Weber, TJ Pettinata, two that he mentioned, and two outstanding people in that respect. And that can only be a good thing. So as long as those guys at the top are reinforcing that, then you'd have to hope eventually that'll trickle down and everyone feels they can be who they are, whether it's in a rugby changer room, a cricket changer room, a football room, whatever. But maybe we do have to look at, give us another look at where we actually are in terms of all that.
Interesting. Right, let's move on to the All Black coaching role, and it's been out of the news for almost a week or two, but here it comes back again, and Scott Robertson, certainly a lot of people's favourite, but now it appears that Jamie Joseph is a viable contender as well. Jamie Wall, and the process now will be interesting.
Yeah, you're right. It will be, because it feels like it's the complete opposite of what they did last time, where instead of lying about going and contacting 26 or whatever it was candidates, they are being very upfront and saying, these are the two blokes we want, and we're going to be pretty open and transparent about the way that we go about interviewing them and the appointment process. Jamie Joseph coming into the conversation is an interesting one. I personally don't know what or sort of why he'd want to leave Japan, given the sort of money that I understand that he's on, and also the amount of control that he has over not just the Japanese national team, but the entire Japanese rugby setup. He's essentially an emperor up there. And to go from that to having to deal with the whims of New Zealand rugby, I don't think would be that much of a... Well, it'd be something that wouldn't be motivating him to do so. Whereas Robertson has, despite, you know, sort of putting the feelers out last year to say, like, oh, I want to coach another team, two All Black ones and stuff, it's pretty obvious this is what he wants to do. And he wouldn't be here if he didn't. And that the pathway for him now that all the other Test Nations have locked up their coaching staffs, is very much going straight into that job. I mean, and the other person you've got to think about in this situation is Ian Foster, because, of course, he and his staff are trying to win a World Cup this year, and the New Zealand Rugby have pretty much just come out and said, because they've intimated that they're going to get this process going as soon as possible, that they don't really have faith in him coaching beyond this year. So what faith do they have in him to win this World Cup when they appointed him last year? So I just think it's a very odd move by the board to do this, which is just yet another odd move that they've made, and that they probably need to just look at the way that they do everything rather than just, just the All Black coach.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling from Ian Foster's point of view, it's almost like It's water off a duck's back. Jamie, to be honest, the fact that he's just copped it left, right and centre, and here now that having confirmed his role through to the World Cup, they still are saying, look, win, lose or draw, sorry, you're gone. James, what do you make of this? It looks like a two-horse race emerging, and do you see it that way?
Yeah, well, that's certainly how it seems, and we've obviously been discussing this amongst ourselves in the office quite a bit over the past few months, and it just seems now that with everything that's happened over the past almost a year or so now, obviously we don't know what's going to happen, but if they go out and Razor wins another title, it looks like he's going to win another title, and they don't go down that road, that is a bizarre move. I mean, from an outsider looking in, given the public certainly seem to want to give Scott Robertson a chance. He's a serial winner. He's got an incredible win rate as Crusaders coach. He's obviously done amazing things with them, and he's come through the system. He's a New Zealand coach who's conquered Super Rugby. He's been out and got experience with the Barbarians and done all kinds of stuff. And so now, if New Zealand Rugby don't go down that path after this World Cup, then that is, it would just seem an absolutely bizarre move. Unless Jamie Joseph or someone else can bring something remarkable to the table or can wow them in the interview, who else really can it be? I mean, given everything that the All Blacks have been through over the past year, and the talk about Razor and the talk about Ian Foster, if they don't go out and get Scott Robertson, who most likely would leave New Zealand Rugby if he didn't get that All Blacks job, that's a massive gamble, right? I mean, maybe Jamie disagrees and maybe it's not a clear cut, but that would just seem like a truly bizarre move at this stage.
Interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. Also interesting to me is that where is David Nika in terms of his boxing career? Here's a bloke who is enormously promising. Our focus tends to go to the heavyweight division and Joseph Parker more often than not. But, James, where do we see David Nika sitting at the moment in terms of this calendar year?
Yeah, it's a funny one. And he definitely needs and definitely wants a few more fights. But he's everything that's been thrown at him so far, and it's not been the toughest test, but they've all been different kind of opponents. He's conquered pretty easily. He's passing everything with flying colours. He trains like an absolute weapon. He's so focused now and has such tunnel vision on wanting to get to the top of his division that it's got to be a big year for him. He's got to get probably four or five fights in him, depending on obviously how they go. If he gets a couple of knockouts, then that's amazing. But boxing promoters will be chasing David Nika, I think, if he gets another few good wins under his belt. He's just such a good talent. He's so marketable as well, which is obviously massive in boxing. He's such a good athlete, such a good talker. He's got a bit of fight about him when he speaks now, and you can kind of tell that he knows he has what it takes. He just needs to action it. But he's got a bit of, not a bit of arrogance, but he's got a good cockiness about him when he talks, and he knows that if he applies himself and if he does everything how he's supposed to, he has everything he needs to get to the top of his division, which is great. It's great for New Zealand boxing. There's so many good boxers out there at the moment representing New Zealand. And David Nika, before too long, could be at the very top of those because he is such a phenomenal athlete. Just needs to get a few more fights going and a couple of good wins. And I think there will be a lot of promoters chasing his signature very soon.
Just finally, I'll come to you, Jamie Wall, on this one. Like him or hate him, it's undeniable now, isn't it, that Novak Djokovic is the greatest of all time?
Well, it's certainly not very easy to like him, I can tell you that much. But yes, I do respect him and his tennis ability. I think, though, that the first point about him basically being the biggest jerk in world sport is going to stop people saying he's the greatest of all time. He doesn't have the charisma to kind of pull it off. You can act like an arrogant dickhead, But there's only a few people that can actually do that and still have people around the world respecting you. Muhammad Ali is one of them, and there's not that many others. And I definitely don't put Novak Djokovic in that category. Well done for winning, what was it, his 10th Australian Open. Like, that's an incredibly impressive feat. And don't get me wrong, I will tune in to watch that guy play, but it doesn't mean I'm going to like him. And it means that when we talk about the greatest of all time, it's going to be, his name's going to be sort of down the list before I start talking about him.
Okay, right. We'll leave it at that with you. James, would you like a quick whack at Novak Djokovic as well, or are you just a little bit more sympathetic to his character?
Yeah, I don't know if sympathetic. I certainly admire the way he's come back this year, and it obviously meant a lot to him to win that Australian Open in particular, and you have to respect the mental toughness he would have to go out there and really dispatch everyone that got in his way. And you kind of saw the end product of that with the outpouring of emotion that he had when he won it. But yeah, I kind of agree with Jamie for a lot of that. Like, he's an amazing player, but I don't know. Probably, I agree with Jamie.
Okay. Good on you, boys, sticking together. Jamie Wall and James Regan were our panellists this morning. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your input.